Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this first Sunday in August, August 3rd. After church this morning, we are having our Growing Hope Farmers Market. And so people have been bringing in things, produce from their gardens, as well as canned goods and craft things and other stuff just to sell at the Growing Hope. All the proceeds go to help Growing Hope ministry and organization all around the world. They're doing some amazing things in rural areas, too, helping to develop the farmers in many different countries, bringing a Christian presence there, encouraging the one that's already existing there. And so Growing Hope is a wonderful ministry. You can look them up online. But we partner with them for different things, especially in our agricultural community of Nebraska. People understand the plight of a farmer. And so it's wonderful to be able to contribute and to serve alongside of them. And so this farmer's market today is doing a great thing. It'll be at 10:30 right after our church service. If you want to give to Growing Hope, just a check or a donation to them, you can always do that. You can just let me know and that you're sending that in, and we will get it into the hands of that organization. A couple announcements as we begin today. The first one is next Sunday, we go back to two services. We go back to our normal schedule. We will have 8:30 and 10:30, and our 8:30 service is more traditional in hymns and that, and our 10:30 more contemporary, and it has more of the ministries for kids, nursery and children's church and things like that. But come as you can to be with the body whenever you can. It's always good. We also will have next week, including on the 17th, a ministry fair at the church. We'll have tables set up. We'll have information cards where you can sign up for different things to be a part of this year. We will have small group Bible studies. We'll have volunteer opportunities with Backpack Community Closet and other things. We will have other ways that you can serve or connect. And so notice those. I believe they're on your church email as well, where you can sign up, become more a part of different things in the life of Bethlehem Covenant Church, and we hope you will. Always kickoff to school is also a kickoff for us again to really rev up all our programming and things like that to get back into swings. The youth groups are going to be starting up soon, the kids' midweeks, and all of our small group Bible studies will be starting up in the next few weeks, and we're looking forward to that. They're always such a blessing to all of us. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 25, and we are going to look at verses 31 to 46 today. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And this is going to be the final sermon in our sermon series on the Gospel of Matthew. We've been going at it since Christmas, and this is the last one. Starting next Sunday, when we go back to two services, I'm going to start a new sermon series on the names of God and all the beautiful names of which he is given throughout Scripture, and that character and nature that describe him more for us, that we get to know God better over this fall season. And so we'll start that next Sunday. But today, from Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, it's a teaching of Jesus, where Jesus says this: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?' And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you did for me." And then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't look after me." And they will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And he will reply, "Truly I tell you, what you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Today is our last Sunday that we're looking here at the Gospel of Matthew. You know, I looked back and I saw that we have done 35 sermons in this series. We began them just before Christmas, and I think this is the longest series that I have ever preached. We have all of them on the YouTube page there if you're ever curious and want to look back or watch one of them. We looked at Matthew chapters 26 and 28 through 28 during Holy Week because they were on the Last Supper, crucifixion, and resurrection. And so we jumped ahead already and looked at those final three chapters back in April. But I love the book of Matthew in the Bible. And I also love the person of Matthew. He was a tax collector who Jesus saw sitting in his tax collector's booth, rotting away in his wealth, but without life and rejected by his people. And then Jesus called him by name, said, "Matthew, come and follow me." And his story is told for us in Matthew chapter 9, but when Matthew heard the voice of Jesus call after him, he simply got up, walked out of that tax collector's booth, and began to follow the Lord. Just like Peter, James, and John did when they dropped their fishing nets and left their fishing boats to follow Jesus. So too, Matthew left his tax collector's booth never to return. He became a disciple of Jesus Christ, discovered real joy and peace and a whole new life that God had for him. And eventually he wrote this first book of the New Testament for us. Matthew is a real guy who was there, and he saw these things happen and that he wrote about. He saw the miracles. He heard these teachings of Jesus when Jesus spoke them, and he wrote them down for us so that we too might know the Lord. This is the Gospel of Matthew. Today, we look at our final sermon from the series, and it is one of the final teachings of Jesus before he would go to the cross. And I have to tell you, this parable of the sheep and goats has always meant something to me. What we do for the least of these, the poor, the sick, the needy in our world, Jesus says we are really doing for him. God's compassion for the most vulnerable, needy, poor, and hungry, and naked of our world, and his love for us, his people, to take care of the orphans and the widows in their distress, to do as Jesus did. And Jesus is saying God cares about people, and we who believe in him and desire to live a righteous life to please God, we who love him should love them, not just in words, but with action. Just like Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, it is to do justice, it is to love mercy, and it is to walk humbly with your God." Jesus showed his disciples in action, and he taught them in these words. Part of my own story growing up is in a home with a dad who worked with the poor all around the world in an organization called Compassion International. And I've shared my story with you many times. Some of you who are new maybe haven't heard it, but many of you, my story, you've heard too many times. Sorry about that. But a big moment in my life happened when I was 12 years old, when I got to travel with Dad to Ecuador and see some of the places Compassion helped. And that was my first time that I think when I really saw the poor. For me, growing up in Colorado Springs in the suburbs in the 1980s, all my friends and the people that I knew lived in certain houses. They drove cars, they wore certain types of clothes, they went to school, they ate three meals a day, they collected baseball cards, they hung out at the mall, they played Nintendo, and they went on vacations. This was my world, and I never saw myself as someone who was rich. I just saw myself as someone like everyone else. I saw the guy who lived on the house on the hill as rich, whom we heard had an elevator in his house. He was the rich guy. Or the celebrity that I saw on television who drove a Lamborghini. He was the rich guy, not me. But then I went to Ecuador, and my world was turned upside down. We went to villages where people were really hungry and naked. I saw whole families living in bamboo homes no bigger than my own bedroom, on stilts over sewage-filled rivers. No bathroom, no bed, a kitchen that was just a few pots and a fire area that was also right in their living room, where they cooked one meal a day if they were fortunate to get one. Kids all barefoot, not by their own choice. I saw hunger. I saw nakedness. I saw sick who had no hospital to go to or medicine to take. I saw thirst. Things that I took for granted. Things that my parents just looked after for me. If I was sick, they would run to the pharmacy. Or if I was hungry, to the grocery store. I just thought everyone did this, but they didn't. I didn't realize I was the rich. And please forgive me if you've heard this 100 times, but on that trip, I met a boy from the village, my own age. He didn't speak my language, but came up to me and asked if I could play. And so we ran off. And he had this wooden top and string, and we entertained ourselves by winding it and spinning it on the dirt floor and seeing how long we could make it go. It was nothing special, but more fun than listening to Dad talk and talk with other people. And when it was time to go, we got in the canoe to go back across the river to the city where our hotel was. And before we could pull away, the boy ran up to me and opened my hand and put the wooden top in it and told me he wanted me to have it. And then we pushed away, and I don't think I thought much about it other than thank you, until the missionary looked over at me and said, "You know, you've been given something really special there." That was probably his only toy. And he gave it to you. Why does this story impact me so much even 40 years later? Why does anything that happens in our life stay with us, leave an impression, change us in some way, bring us to tears even so long after? What is about it, the certain things that rise to a place of sacred in our lives? I believe it is because God is within them. Whether the most beautiful mountain view or sunrise that we see on the most difficult seasons of our life, just at the right time to remind us that He is there. Or the holiest of love that we receive from a grandma or a mom, to the such wonderful wisdom that came from our dad that we now live by it. To a moment of pain or grief that God provided something that carried us through, or that first time that we saw Jesus for real in His word or in worship and our heart was affected. or to a love that we got from someone or somewhere that was just greater, undeserved in every way. The Lord is in these sacred things somehow. And that is why they reach our heart and the deeper places of us. In these holy words that Jesus is teaching today from Matthew, he is saying that when we love people like he loves people, when we show mercy and compassion to them and give ourselves to others like he gave himself to us, then something divine happens. Something enters into our world. For we aren't just giving to them, but to God. He is there in the transaction. He is love. And when we love, the Bible says, he is seen, he is known. What is interesting to me, 40 years away from that day in Ecuador, and still talking about it, what is interesting is that I'm not talking about the good thing I did for someone in need. I'm talking about what he who was in need did for me. On that trip, I learned not just of my own wealth, but my own poverty as well. And the love of God for me in this world entered in. God used that boy's compassion to give me more compassion for others. Something greater than a wooden top happened. And I have learned in my life since that day that the gift of generosity is not just something the wealthy have, but it is with all those who truly know Jesus. Whether you have lots of material things or very little, when Christ is in you, you are always wanting to give the love that you have received. And this is the most important part of our scripture for today. The thing that we cannot miss, that Jesus is asking his disciples to become givers, not takers, not hoarders, to give, to not close their eyes to a world all around them in need, to be like the Good Samaritan, to not walk past those who are hurting, to not shut off our heart, to not get desensitized to the images on a screen or the news, or to think that we can do nothing, but to keep loving the ones that he loves. For what we do for them, we are really doing for our Lord. This week, I couldn't believe when I heard on the news Netanyahu say there isn't really starvation happening in Gaza. And I was so thankful President Trump said, no, there is. We have seen the images and heard the stories coming from there. People are dying. But it's not just Netanyahu. But this is what we all can do. We can blame, point fingers, or even deny the truth so that we can live in blind paradise and not feel responsible for the problem. To not think that we have done anything to contribute to it. We can take pain and suffering in this world and not want to believe it or say, that's not my problem. But Jesus is teaching us here, he wants us to make it our problem, as if he was the one in Gaza right now without a meal. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was the one in prison and you came to visit me. Me. Jesus is not talking in this parable about what caused the problem or who is to blame, but who will love them. Who will feed the hungry, give a drink to the thirsty, open the door to the stranger, clothe the naked, help the sick, visit the person in prison? Who will love the least of these for me, he says. Whatever you do for them, you do for me. St. Francis in the 10th century used to say, the poor are sacramental.
What he meant was that when we give to the poor, it is not just them that we see, but Christ in them looking back at us. What you do for the least of these, you do unto me. Now, there are a couple more things I'd have us think about and even wrestle with in this scripture. The first is a tough one for me, but this scripture tells us that Jesus is not just our Savior, but he is also the judge of our life, and there are consequences when we don't love. I want us to really struggle with this. And we have to be careful not to interpret it wrong, but to hold it alongside other teachings of Jesus that give us the assurance that we are saved by faith and not our good works. We have to know that, while at the same time feel the weight of what Jesus is saying. Jesus opens his teaching by talking about when he will return, when the Son of Man comes in glory and the angels with him. He will sit on the throne and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the sheep from the goats. Now, some have tried to play word games here and say that the word nation is something else and that Jesus isn't talking about us. But let's not try to find a way out of this. This is meant to disturb us, unsettle us out of our complacency. Let's let Jesus' words disturb us. The Jews of Jesus' day, the people of God, were looking forward to what they called the day of the Lord, the day when they believed God would avenge their oppressors, when he would judge the nations, when the Messiah would come in glory, and they thought that was going to be a good day for them and a bad day for everybody else. But what Jesus is saying is that they too are going to be judged. They too have sin in their life. It is a lack of love. They who think they're all righteous in their robes and religious practices, they who are Abraham's descendants and look down on everyone else, they who thought the day of the Lord was going to be their victory and everyone else was going to get what's coming to them. Jesus is saying here, be warned. Just like John the Baptist said, don't think that Abraham can save you. The axe is at the root of the tree, and every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is going to be cut down. Just like the prophets of the Old Testament said, Jesus is saying, don't be so sure of yourself. You who have lived high on the hog when others have not had a meal, you have sinned too. You have hatred towards your neighbor. You've neglected the poor and the foreigner and exploited your workers. The day of the Lord is going to be a day of mourning for you, not joy. So repent now. Come back to God, or judgment is coming even for you. I really think Jesus is talking about this. Just like Isaiah and Amos and Jeremiah did, they who had been so focused on purity laws and religious practices, but had neglected the more important command to love your neighbor. And Jesus makes it clear in this parable, whether we like it or not, that there are eternal consequences for sin. We all have to stand before the Lord someday, and we will be judged according to what we have done. And you may say, I don't believe that. You may say God wouldn't do that, but I'm just telling you what Jesus said and what the Bible says. We will be judged. So where is the hope in all of this? Well, it happens in the very next chapter in Matthew, when Jesus, while we are sinners in all of this, goes to a cross for you and me. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, like Jesus says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In love, he took our sin and our death so that we might have his righteousness and his life. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, we are saved by grace through faith, not from ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, this hit me. Jesus has done for us all of the things he's telling us to do for others. For I was hungry, not just for food for this body, but he is the bread of life, and he has given unto me eternal food. I was thirsty, just like the woman at the well, for more than just well water, but living water, and he has freely given that to me. I was the stranger, the outsider, the sinner, separated from my God. And yet he went to the cross that I might now freely come in. I needed clothes, naked in my shame, and he clothed me in his righteousness. I was sick with a disease of sin that was killing me, and he healed me. I was in prison of many chains of my own doing, and he came to set me free. The Lord never asks of us what he hasn't already given us. Who am I to deny another what I have been so freely given? Shouldn't I have love and mercy on others as he has had it with me? You see, we love because he first loved us. When we believe in Jesus and receive what he came to give us and open our heart to him and his love comes into us. And that love not only saves our life, but it changes us towards others. He causes us to care like we hadn't before. We begin to love better. It is Christ in me who does this. It is his love and his life in me. And so our faith in Christ and believing and abiding in him every day comes out with actions. It comes out in fruit. Change. This is our salvation. It is him at work in me. Faith is not just a mental belief that there is a God up there somewhere. It is a life receiving Jesus Christ in, trusting him for eternity and even today, and letting him have all of me. Not just saying the words, I believe in Jesus, not just showing up at church once a week, but showing up every day, allowing him to do his good work in my life. And if we really have Jesus at the center of our faith and life, and then the love of Christ is going to naturally just flow out. Listen to what 1 John 3:11-18 says. For this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We got to love one another. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. I want to repeat that verse. We know we have passed from death to life. How? Because we love each other. Love is a fruit of something that has changed in us. It is a sign of life in us. Continuing on, it says, anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other. If anyone has material possessions, sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Can you hear the language? Be in that person. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And then in verse 23, it says, this is the command to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. To believe and to love, they go together. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ, and love is the result. His love enters our life, saving us and others. 1 John 4 goes on to say, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God loved, showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and his Son. It gave an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, he is made known in us. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how God's love is made complete, so that we would have confidence on the day of judgment. Whoever claims to love God but hates his brother is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother or sister who they've seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. He's given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother. This is scripture. Galatians 5:6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressed through love. This is scripture. Can you hear what God is saying in all of this? The same thing Jesus was teaching in the parable for day of the sheep and the goats, and how he knows who is really one of his sheep and who is not. It is seen in their love. If they believe in him and have received him, truly following him, it will be seen in the way they treat the least of these. We aren't saved by our good works, but we are saved to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. His love in us. The last thing I'll say about our scripture is that real love, according to Jesus, is action. But we have to listen to Jesus every day to know the best action to take to really help somebody. I have learned that God is always at work around us. And the best thing that I can do is not try to do everything for everyone or to rush off and do the first thing that comes to mind or the easiest thing. But I need to stop, be still, and pray first. To be a person of God's word every day and to abide in him and let his spirit show me what he wants me to do. To hear from God and to really see these people. There are so many ways to give. What is Jesus calling you to do? Maybe one day he shows you a coworker who's going through a painful divorce. Maybe another day he shows you a ministry that is doing great things that you can support. Maybe there's a neighbor kid or family member the Lord would have you take time to invest in, or a certain family that you know about who can't afford some basics and they're trying real hard. You can help supplement their income. In the parable, Jesus says, I will separate the sheep from the goats. A sheep follows a shepherd, listens for his voice, responds to where he leads them, trusts all he needs to the one looking after him. We are to be like sheep, listening for our shepherd's voice, hearing his call to serve and go for him, to share our faith in this moment here, or to share our bread or home in this other moment, to go wherever he sends. This isn't about you saving the world. We can do nothing without him. This is about us being a sheep, living as a follower of Christ every day, being open to whatever he shows you, partnering in whatever he's already doing in the world. And remember, it was just a boy with two small fish and five loaves of barley who heard the call of Jesus to feed a crowd of 5,000, and he just brought what he had. And Jesus gave thanks for it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples to pass out to the people. And as they went, the Lord multiplied that small gift and made it huge. This is what he can do with what we give. I think about the little boy who gave to me long ago. He just gave me what he had. And the Lord used it in my life to help me in greater ways than that boy would ever know. We just have to be obedient. Not a savior of the world, but just daily listening to the Savior and responding in faith and love. People need hope today. People seek peace. People are hungry and thirsty and have nowhere to call home. People sit in prison and wonder if there's any forgiveness for them. Let us be like Isaiah each day. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me to share out of the abundance that you have given. Help me to love as you have loved. Open my eyes and my heart to a world that you died for. For this is your command, and I will follow. Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these, you really do for me. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.